Well, good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. We are in program number 109 of the Cup of Goodness program. Good morning, all you earlier risers in Washington. I know Bob listens in now at 6:30 in the morning up there in Touche, Washington, and I know there's some folks listening in South Dakota and soon to be listening from Arizona. But anyway, this is directed to the people in Fort Worth and Dallas and anybody else that's just listen up and listen in. I hope it's been encouraging and uplifting and challenging and making you think about some things here. We have spent the last few days talking about music, specifically in Colossians and Ephesians, but also looking at Moses and Amos and David and Saul and Daniel, all sorts of places to find some interesting things about music. And I think folks out there that know where I'm coming from with what we're teaching here and preaching here, you know what's going on with the music. And I'm thinking that probably one of the more exciting thoughts for folks that maybe have never heard before is the fact that in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, who's a type of Antichrist, makes everybody bow down and worship him to all kinds of music. And so that's telling us that the Antichrist, when he shows up, Revelation chapter 6, before the real Savior comes down, and he is coming, you know, but the Antichrist comes down, everybody knows about 666, you know, and all the different things about the tribulation and whatsoever, but I don't think many people realize that it's music that's going to kick in the worship time. So what do we have going on in our churches today? We have music that's fleshly oriented, physically oriented, because it's based on the beat, the element of music, melody, harmony, and rhythm. The emphasis today is on rhythm, the beat. And that's the stuff that gets people enjoying their rock music, their Christian rock, their contemporary Christian music, which is what most everything is based on. Or they get into the New Age aspect of melodies, where the devil is still taking something that God would have, and that's the melody, and still mix that in with waterfalls and waves from the ocean, which I enjoy, waterfalls and waves from the ocean coming up on the beach. I enjoy that. I enjoy listening to thunderstorms in the middle of winter up here. And then in the summertime, I enjoy listening to blizzards over the internet or whatever. But to put that in with music to get me to get my feelings going, that's emotions, that's harmonies, that's the stuff that steers us as well. So the devil won't let anything alone. So people will be bowing down to the Antichrist at the sounds of all kinds of music. And we are certainly being prepared for that today in our country and in our churches. Bob down there in Dallas, Texas, even sent me an article the other day from the New York Times, of all places, talking about how the church is serenading a young urban flock. And it says here in big print, it's a religious crusade that offers more music than theology. And you read this thing, and I realize that people don't understand the risen Savior and the teaching from the risen Savior and the King James Bible and everything. But here's the New York Times that recognizes the fact that music has taken over our churches. So even the lost world, the obviously lost world, the media understands what's going on. And it seems to me that it's the so-called Christians that are blind to this whole thing because they're going by their feelings and their pastors who have got them snuckered into this gospel stuff of Jesus, and they're not teaching them about the risen Savior, not teaching them about Paul as the apostle, and they're certainly not teaching about the goodness of God. They're teaching this fleshly feel-good Jesus, which is the Antichrist. Getting all ready for that. Well, there's your summary of the past couple days. Now, this morning, we are going to look at some specific things here. What I call, it's a full article in the scriptures or on the website, and it's called Topics of Praise. When one looks at the lyrics, those are the words that are being sung. When one looks at the lyrics of what's being sung in churches or what's being sung in the contemporary Christian music world, you'll see some words that are like, what is that? I mean, they're as shallow can be. They're as marshmallow can be. They're as syrupy as syrup can be. And they're missing the things that God actually tells us to praise him about. We have things that we can be singing. Now remember, modern Bibles takes the word praise and takes the word singing and song, and they turn all those verses into music. So we already know that that's a problem. But I can tell you this, that God has told us, in his King James Bible, of course, he has told us what we can thank him for, what we can praise him for. Lots of times you realize that your kids don't understand what it's like to be an adult. They don't understand what it's like to have bills, medical issues, you know, debt, challenges, trying to do things. I try to teach my kids at school all the time how to respect the older people, how to understand what it takes to become a teacher, and the troubles that we go through and the difficult, all this kind of stuff. A lot of people don't understand that. So we as adults try to tell that to our kids so they may understand it a little bit. We try to teach that to Christians. But what's being taught today, again, is that watered-down, marshmallowy gospel of Jesus going to the Jews, and yet it's put on top with this hardcore severity of God stuff. So what we're going to look at this morning, which I've said, I've already started off with that title, is the topics of praise. He tells us what to praise him for. He tells us how to sing to him. Now remember, we did the last program, I think, two programs ago, about the King James Bible. If you want to sing in your heart to the Lord, and you want him to hear your melody, read his words. He gave us the words to read to him. He gave us the stuff that we can say. But in those words, he has also taught us what we can do to praise him back, what we should be thinking about to sing back to him on our praises. If we're going to sing and are going to play our instruments or play piano and sing to God, as we say, and sing to the Lord, we're not singing to the lost world. We're not going to try to attract people to our church because of our musicians, our music program, anything like that. That's what people are doing, but that is so unscriptural, so unbiblical, so wrong. No edification. It's not expedient. It will cause people to stumble without a doubt. And music has a power over those people in your church, and it pleases your flesh. Those are all the things that go against what God does with his liberty towards us. Anyway, I'm just going to tell you what the subjects are that God tells us that we can thank him for and sing praises about him. And this is what I would call, you know, the serious stuff. This isn't the thank him for his love and his patience with me, you know, that kind of a thing. This gets into some of the nitty-gritty, some of the specific things. For example here, and now, like I say, this is on the website. So if you want to get the scriptures for all this stuff, and I've noticed tonight as I'm looking at these things, kind of reviewing them, but I do need to update some of the scriptures here. So it's called Topics of Praise. It's in the music website. It's in the book that I have written on the website. And you go down the table of contents and you find Topics of Praise. And here are the topics with the scriptures. And we won't spend the time. Otherwise, I could spend a month on this list too. So, for example, here's what we have. We can thank him. We can praise the Lord for his admonishment. Remember? Now, again, I'm going to be so tempted to read all the verses that we're talking about here and put the whole buffet on the table. And if you've been listening to the program before, you will recognize when I talked about admonishment. We can do that, see through the music, etc., etc. Admonishing is he warns us. He guides us. And by the way, all the things that we're looking at will be found in the scriptures. And that is so important, as you'll see as we go through this. Okay, so admonishing. We thank him for the fact that he admonishes us. That's warning us. That's guiding us. He tells us who to avoid. He tells us who to withdraw from. He actually tells us who we should have no company with. He actually tells us who we should turn away from. I mean, we should be unsocial weirdos? No, but he does tell us who we need to be careful from, because that admonishment will protect us. He's trying to protect us. He knows who we can be around and who we can't be around. It's just like parents to your children. You tell your children, I hope you tell your kids, some of the kids, not to be around. Parents can admonish their children, can warn them, they can guide them. They get a job. You realize if you work that job from 7 at night to 4 in the morning, that's when those stores are usually robbed. So you're admonishing your children, your teenagers. That's probably not the best place in the world to work. You need to be careful. Who to stay away from? That's what admonishment is. And one of these days, I'm going to do a short little program. God tells us who to stay away from. And one little particular thing he tells us who to stay away from, and you will be very, very surprised. In fact, I'm going to make that little note right here, and we're going to have to deal with that here pretty soon, because it's pretty interesting who he tells us to stay away from. Okay, so we thank him for the fact that he will do that. Now, he won't do that admonishment unless you read your scriptures. And you won't do that admonishment to you truthfully unless you rightly divide, because through Paul, he will tell us who we need to avoid, withdraw from, have no company with, turn away from, etc., etc. One of the things as a pastor I've recognized over the years are a lot of the people that have stumbled and tripped up and quit and gotten mad at God or whatever, it's because they did not follow God's admonishment. They did not avoid who and what and where. They did not withdraw from who and what and where they should withdraw from. They continue to have company with some folks or some situations, works of darkness, that kind of thing, that they shouldn't have because they couldn't handle it. He told some people to turn away from such and such, and they didn't do it, and it got them. They got had. So the scriptures will admonish us. They'll guide us. And we can thank the Lord for that. Just thank him. Think of all the different places maybe you would have gone if it wasn't for your King James Bible telling you, that's not a good place. That's not a good music. That's not the church. That's not the place to go. Thank him for that. There's some specific things. Number two on the list here is redemption from the world, from the flesh, from the devil, from church, all this church stuff that's going on. Redeemed. We're redeemed from that. He's paid the price. He was the one that stepped up to the cross. I should say plate, but he stepped up to the cross and paid for that and took care of that sin and got rid of all that. So we've been redeemed from the world. Now we're still in it, but we're not part of it. We're still in our flesh, but we're cut away from it. The devil is still out there wanting to come down one of these days and do that tribulation, but in the meantime, he messes with other flesh. This church stuff, we're redeemed from that mess of church and from religion. Thank him for that. Personal conviction, number three. No, the word is not conviction. The word is convincing. Now, listen closely to this one. Yupper, I can already tell we're not going to get through them all today. I tend to talk too much, but I got cool stuff to talk about. So, sorry, I've been at school all day. I can say cool. We've got some, how about for the older folks out there, we got some groovy stuff. No, God's stuff is not groovy and cool. It's fantastic. It's magnificent. Okay, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24. This is good. Actually, we'll go to 23. And he's talking about prophecy, which is preaching, which is teaching the scriptures, okay? If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Paul's telling his people, listen, speaking in tongues isn't what you think it is, folks. But then he says in 24, but if all prophesy, that's preaching, that's teaching, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. The word is not conviction. There's no place in the Bible that says we are convicted. It says we're convinced. Now listen to this. This is another one of those small, important little bunny trails or golden nuggets we need to consider. If we say that we're convicted, then we have believed over all these years, I have believed this for years, that then the Holy Spirit is convicting me. And somebody will say about a certain issue, well, see, the Spirit of God has not convicted me in that area yet. Oh, really? But he's convicted me, but not you. How does that come about? And you get into the preaching and all this kind of stuff, and you get this conviction put on you. Well, the word is convincing. Now, if you're going to convince somebody, you've got to talk to them. You've got to show them the pros and cons. You've got to show them the goods and the bads, the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, the round and abouts. And you got to show them this stuff. You can teach them. Preach at them. Prophesy, like it says in Corinthians. That's what they talk when they talk about preaching. So a King James Bible will convince you of something. Yes, it's the Spirit of God that is in that Bible that's going to convict you. Yeah, but it never tells us that. That Spirit of God is going to convince you through the scriptures, through that person, that preacher, that pastor, that missionary, if he's teaching the rightly divided word of truth, they're going to convince you. Now listen, we are at program 109, and I have given you every reason I can think of about why, well, that's not true. I've got a whole lot more reasons we could talk about. But I've given you a bunch of reasons why King James Bible is the only word of God. That should have been convincing. And you say, well, the Spirit of God has not convicted me of that yet. See, that's religious bogotry. That's baloney. That's sausage. That's not the right stuff. I'm trying to convince you by showing you the truth about the different Bibles, how they support music, you know, instead of melody, all the different things I've given to you. I've tried to show you about the teachings of Paul. I've tried to convince you about rightly dividing the word of truth. All that stuff. Now we've tried to convince you about music. There's no convicting going on here. It's convincing. It's showing you what the scriptures say. And then the Spirit of God, through those scriptures, is trying to convince you. But you're wrestling with what your pastors taught you. You're wrestling with what your flesh, your body teaches to you and tells you. You're wrestling with religion. You're wrestling with happiness of your family. You're wrestling with your relatives. All these things go against what you're being, trying to convince you of this stuff. So what do we thank God for? What do we praise God for? For this convincing, that he has convinced those of you that he has convinced, personal convincing about the truth, about the King James Bible, about the word of truth, about Paul and Peter, and tells us about those guys and the Gospels. We understand the importance and the need for the Gospels. He has convinced us that that Gospel was to the Jews. That's the severity of God. And he's convinced me, and many of us out here in the listening world here, have been convinced that we go to Paul as our only apostle. And we go to the teachings of the risen Savior. We're convinced about music and the Antichrist. We're convinced about these things. So, not to turn this into a sermon, but there's no conviction going on. It's convincing. And the scriptures will convince you. But see, nobody's preaching you the scriptures anymore. You can tell, probably. I know some of you that listen to me that are part of our web family, what's left of our web family out there. You know that I could talk for over an hour on a certain subject. And it's not because I ramble and jamble on, usually. It's because there's so many scriptures that talk about that. I could keep going on this convincing thing with some more scriptures. So I do need to I realize tonight that I need to add some more scriptures to this topics of praise page. For one thing, I can already tell we're not even going to get close to getting through this list. And there's some really nice things, really interesting things, really enjoyable and comforting things that we need to hear about. These are things that we should praise God for. Okay, so enough of that. Personal convincing, not conviction. Number four. His righteous judgment. Just thank the Lord for his righteous judgments. Because, see, the Lord knows what's right. He knows what's expedient. He knows what will edify. He knows what we can do that will not cause someone else to stumble. He knows how to help us get that victory over that power that we have over us. And he also knows what to tell us to do, his judgments, that won't please our flesh. But he also knows that our flesh is going to fight that. But let's just thank the Lord for his righteous judgments. We look at what he says in Paul's books, and he will make those judgments for us. That's what he does. So you're going to find out by the time we're done with all these topics of praises that they're all his. It's his admonishment to us. It's what he's done to redeem us from the world and the flesh and the devil and the church and ourself, etc. It's because of his convincing to me. It's his righteous judgments that we're talking about here. Number five, his power. It's his power that we should thank him for and praise him for his power. See, Christians take this anointing, which is falsely taught in the churches today, and say that God gives you that power to do what you have to do to be that victorious Christian. That's not true. He gives you the scriptures. He tells you what you need to do, and you're going to fight that flesh all the time. So what's that power of his that we should thank him for? The power that he has instructed in, that he has instilled into my life, is the fact that he cut my soul and spirit away from my flesh. You know what kind of power that takes? That's the spiritual power. He's taken care of sin because he fulfilled the law. That's the power that he had to fulfill the law. And now, without the law, there's no transgression. And I could go down that road for a half hour, but I probably better not. Okay, so this false power that people talk about, let's see if I can find it here. It's in Acts, and I think I got it right here. Now listen to this closely here. It's in Acts chapter 26, verse 18. This is one of the purposes of Paul where he says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, verse 18, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. See, there's a power of God to forgive us our sins, but that's not my point here. My point is this. We are turned away from the power of Satan unto God. It does not say from the power of Satan unto the power of God. We're not turned from the power of Satan to the power of God. We don't have that power in us to stop sinning. We don't have the power in us to put our fingers like in the shape of a cross and cast away the devils. We don't have that power. That's what's going on here. It says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, having a form of godliness, this is the modern fake Christian here he's talking about, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Well, what power is this godliness, is this religion denying? It's denying spiritual circumcision. It's denying what he did for sin. It's denying what Christ has done as the goodness of God towards us. He denies all that stuff that he's been. That's the power that's denied. See, in the tribulation, those that want to be following true Savior, not the Antichrist, they're going to have the Spirit of God put upon their flesh. They will have the power to say no to stuff. Really? Yes, Acts chapter 2, for those that haven't listened for the whole program, Acts chapter 2 tells us here, Peter's talking, these people thought that these guys speaking in tongues were drunk, and he says, no, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And then it goes on, there's another, so I could talk there for a half hour or more. We don't have the Spirit of God upon our flesh. We don't have that physical fleshly power to stop doing things. We have to be convinced, and then we have to fight our flesh, and with God's encouragement and the Scriptures and the strength given to us by His grace, all these things that we can have, we can be strong enough to say no. But it's not a power that He gives us like He gives the people in the tribulation in Acts chapter 2, for they will have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. We have the Spirit of God in us. And that Spirit of God will convince us not to take that, not to drink that, not to look at that, not to put that on and go out in public. See what I'm saying? We will be convinced, but we have to be the ones to say no. Just say no, so we have to say. Well, it's not always that easy. We don't have that kind of a power. The power that we should be thanking the Lord for is what He's done to us spiritually. Fantastic thing. And again, you've got to read your Scriptures, you've got to read Paul, understand what's going on. The power that people are talking about in religion is that it's like they have the Spirit of God upon their flesh, but they don't. But they don't. So they're fake. They're hypocritical. They say they're not doing this, but they do it anyway. Come on, people. You know what you do at night. You know that you're not as great a Christian as you'd like to be. You know you don't do what your pastor preaches. Listen, your pastor doesn't do what the pastor preaches. He doesn't have that power. You don't have that power. You've got the Scriptures. You've got the convincing. You've got the Spirit of God in you to give you that encouragement and hope and strength. But if we had the power to cast all this flesh away, to cast that sin away, cast that devil away, and get rid of all this unhealthiness and this, we'd do it. We'd do it. And these guys that say they're healers and stuff, oh, come on, there's another hour right there. If you really can heal people, go to a hospital. Go down to Africa and Sierra Leone or whatever and heal, get rid of that Ebola if you're that good at it. Come on, it's all a fake thing. But to thank God for His real power, it's a spiritual, He's been marvelous to us, what He's done for us. So we need to thank Him for that stuff. We probably better do one more here, and that's on strength. And I've already made it through 6 points. Uh-oh. I see more things coming up. So when I was wondering what we were going to talk about for pretty soon here, I'm seeing it. So let's look at His strength. Thank God for His strength. So He does give us His strength. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to save this until the next program because there's some things I can talk about with His strength. We're going to start right here with strength tomorrow. And we can thank God for His strength, but it's just like His power. The strength He gives us is to continue, is to go forward and get going. And we thank Him for that strength. Is it a physical strength? Is it a power to cast out devils? All this kind of bahooey? No. And we'll talk about the kind of strength we should thank Him for tomorrow. By the way, these topics of praise will only make sense, and you'll only understand them if you understand the King James Bible, rightly divided through Paul. If not, I don't know what I must sound like to you if you don't get this King James Bible stuff yet, or rightly divided, like I say, through Paul, and the risen Savior's teachings. I don't understand why this is so difficult for people, other than I guess I mumble and jumble, don't preach it good. I'm not the fancy preacher. I don't have the $300 suits. Matter of fact, I teach in a public school that's probably shut off a lot of people's ears right there. I can give you all sorts of reasons why you shouldn't listen to me. I'll give you one reason why you should. As I'm teaching a King James Bible, rightly divided through Paul, these are the teachings of the risen Savior. That's why you should listen in. It's just like a bad teacher in a school. I learned from bad teachers in schools. I didn't like the teacher. I thought she was a poor job. I still learned stuff. I was a rare student back in those days. Today, people complain and gripe about teachers all the time. No, it's not the teacher, folks. It's the curriculum that these teachers are being forced to teach. It's the administration. Blah, blah, blah. I could go on and on and on. But we can still learn from them. You can still learn from me. Listen up. I'm going to teach you about the things that we should be praising God for from a rightly divided... I'm going to say it again. You ready? You can say it with me. From a King James Bible, rightly divided the teachings of the risen Savior through the Apostle Paul. That's why you should listen in. We will continue this program tomorrow, the Cup of Goodness, that's what it's called. And we will pick it up with His strength, things that we should be praising and thanking Him for. So we'll talk to you tomorrow, folks. ¶¶